the June event. This is a special June event. Usually we do not have our programs in June. Our next program will be in July, the third Thursday, and we are all but confirmed to pull the event at the Balloon Fiesta Museum down in, or here in Albuquerque, and we will send out an email next week with all of the details. So welcome to Coronado Ventures Forum, and for those of you not familiar with our mission and our purpose, basically we are a collection of volunteers in and around the investment and technology entrepreneurial space. We hold programs every other month. I don't know whether that's semi-monthly or bi-monthly, I get confused. And the programs are meant to bring together and educate entrepreneurs, investors, and service providers in and around New Mexico. I moved out here 5 years ago from Boston, so I've got something to do later. So anybody here from LA? Any Lakers fans? Good. Oh, we have one. Any Celtics fans? All right, so real quickly, I'm going to run through the sponsors that help us put together these programs and help keep the cost down. Please hold your applause until I complete the entire list, and I'll go through this quickly, but this is very important because without the sponsors, we couldn't do what we do. Platinum sponsors, Los Alamos National Laboratory and TBC. Gold sponsorship, Los Alamos National Bank, Los Alamos Research Park, Silos, Verge, Sandia National Laboratories. And our silver sponsors, Brownstein, Cottonwood, Epic Ventures, Fort Washington, First National Bank. Beverly, you can apply. Inventor, Peacock Myers, Deborah, there you go. Porch and Associates, Regional Development Corporation, Santa Fe Business Incubator, West Enterprise Center, Village Ventures, V-Spring Capital, Sun Mountain Capital, and the New Mexico Small Business Center. So, thank you all for coming out tonight. I know June and the summer tends to be kind of there's a lot of conflicts and the game as well. But I think we've got a really interesting and topical program tonight, and it is around social media marketing. With that, I will turn things over to Mr. John Freisinger. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Todd explained my job tonight was two things: moderate the panel and keep the audience updated on the scores. The current score is 0-0. So we have three panels tonight to help us understand social media. I'd like to introduce all three panelists, and I'll start on your left with Mick Thompson. Mick works for Collecta. It is a web real-time streaming engine, and he is a web developer for that company. Collecta delivers results as a live stream of what is currently being said on the web, and that's why he's on this BlackBerry right now. He favors working on projects that have large-scale impact on the web. Mick also likes to support local developers, design, and the marketing community by helping run New Mexico Ignite. If any of you are familiar with that, Mick is the reason we have Ignite here in New Mexico. And Mick has also just received some good news about funding for his company. Mick, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we finally closed a round of funding last week for Collecta. Details, I guess, are 4.7 from Dace and Troop. And yeah, I guess that's it.
All right.
Wow. Next to Mick is Will Riker. Will has a broad background in social media, strategic communications, marketing, public relations, development, fundraising, and business management. Did I catch them all? His forte is messaging. He consistently gives help to people, giving them words to their mission-critical ideas. He's an award-winning writer who has published in outlets such as the Innovation Magazine, which is currently available at the front table for free to this group. Actually, it's available for free to anybody. You just call the card. And but most recently is consultant for a wide range of clients in his company, Crosscut Communications. Will, how are things at Crosscut?
They're very well, John. Thank you.
Any interesting projects you're working on right now?
We're actually working with a fairly sizable regional mortgage company, and that has actually been a source of a lot of learning for us in terms of social media and what the opportunities are there.
Fantastic. Thank you, Will, for participating in our panel. And finally, Gary Ebersol. Some of you already know Gary as a member of the CBF board. Gary also agreed to fill in tonight because of his vast experience in this particular area. He confesses to being a serial entrepreneur. He was responsible for the rollout of Captain Crunch and Cocoa Pebbles. A Silicon Valley transplant. He is working on a second software startup since moving to Santa Fe over 4 years. His latest venture is to develop software to help organizations create value from the deluge of social data. Gary is often the contrarian. That's why we put him on that side. And some would even say, and he lets me use this word, curmudgeonly. And he holds a position on popular topics that is often at odds with his fellow panelists. Let's see if Larry's holds true to his form tonight. So please welcome all three of our panelists. So panelists, the topic of our event tonight was social media, a web 2.0 fairy tale. Gary, why don't we start with you? Is it a fairy tale or not? That's why you're going to have this microphone, Gary.
All right. I have to say from the outset that I was such a boring guy, but I never made the connection between cereal. That's, you know, I could take credit for Captain Crunch. Probably wouldn't be sitting here if I could take credit for Captain Crunch. I'm not a practitioner of social media marketing. I'm a marketing guy from Silicon Valley. I used to do high-tech marketing for many, many startups and also some microsystems and big companies like that. I am a marketing guy, but not a social media marketing guy, which kind of brings me to my point. My answer is I put social media marketing in that same category as multimedia that existed back in the 90s. For those of you old enough to remember when everybody got excited about multimedia, it was an industry. It was a market. We were going to have startups doing multimedia. And I can't think of a multimedia startup today. Multimedia became subsumed in everything else. Microsoft used to have a division, a multimedia division. Just because you can do video on a PC doesn't justify it as a division. So my general assessment of social media marketing is that it's simply one of the many things that marketing professionals need to put in their toolkit. Can you call out a social media marketing practice? Perhaps a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, for certain, the whole distinction of social media marketing will disappear and become just subsumed into the standard marketing methodologies that any marketing professional uses. Today, we probably need to call it as a specialty because people need to understand how to use it, how to consume it. I view social media marketing as more central to the data that you're using because that's really what drives social media marketing. Marketing should be, and by a lot of practitioners, is very data-driven. How can you take that data, how can you use that data to build marketing programs? So my general response is, if there is social media marketing today, it's a transitory phase. We'll see this disappear and become just mainstream marketing.
Contrarian views?
I'm actually going to agree with Gary. I actually very much agree that social media is really just a new communications channel. I think it has new facets, the depth of it, the reach of it, the breadth of it. It's in both depth and breadth, much more extensive than anything we've ever seen before. And the social aspect of it is also newer. It can be quantified better than it ever was before. But in fact, we've always done this in the past. We've influenced each other's decisions about purchases and those kinds of things. You know, word of mouth, it's very much akin to word of mouth. It's very much like a telephone, and I really very much agree that 5 years, if even that long, it will very quickly become part of the lexicon of question of marketing.
Oh, I hate to do this. For those of you who don't, sorry.
Now we disagree.
No, actually, one of the things that I really found stunning is you start tracking this and getting involved in this, is just the level of activity involved in social media. It just kind of overwhelms you. How many of you think Whole Foods might have a Twitter account? How many of you think they might have 200,000 followers? 500,000. 1 million. How about 7 million? Isn't it stunning that a company like Whole Foods, 7 million people sign up to follow tweets for a company like Whole Foods? It's amazing, stunning.
Sorry. So maybe your job, though, is to try to make sense of all of that information flowing through the web at this point. Is there something that we could take away from the sheer volume of information that's out there that would actually help us with our day-to-day marketing?
Yeah, so there's a few different things that you can actually take away from it, because you'll find large trends. Once you have that much data coming through any system, you see trends that start to pick up, and that's one of the things that Collecta is working on right now. It's fascinating that this all comes from interactions just one-on-one, because that's the basis of social media. I'm posting whatever, my interests, my likes. And so I think one of the things that social media marketing actually offers that's different is you get instant feedback from your customers. So not only are you trying to just push out information to them, but you can actually see a stream of what their concerns are. Do they like your product? Do they have problems with your product? Do they like your competitor better? So all of that, it's actually a huge survey that you already have out there in line.
So what are some of the trends we should be looking at right now that you've started to investigate, that you're seeing in the work Collecta is doing? Besides Lady Gaga.
That's where I was going. It's a different conversation every day, right? A lot of us follow news or current events, and we see those trends pick up in social media. But we also see a lot of different trends that are local only to the internet, and a lot of different memes that come about, and some of those are even created by companies. They're more or less got lucky to create those. But you can see how how some marketing has impacted social media, and you can try to learn from that, try to jump on board on some of those. And those are the trends I think you'd be most interested in.
Good, Jess. Will, you're helping local community organizations with that marketing. Trends that they're seeing, that they're trying to pay attention to?
I think one of the most interesting trends really is the fact that we're all talking about social media these days. It's at the top of everyone's minds, and there's a lot of buzz about it. And so we have the sense that everyone is doing it, and that we're all already there, we've already arrived in terms of social media. One of the things I find every day that just amazes me is how little this has been developed, in fact. And so I would say that's one of the trends that I see, is really that there are brave new worlds out there for all kinds of industries in social media. We're just at the tip of the iceberg. I mean, that's really the one that I would throw out there.
What do you think the penetration rate is, say, a diverse audience like this?
Well, I mean, it would depend a lot on whether we're talking about organizations or individuals. And in terms of individuals, it's getting very high these days. In fact, that's like 50% of the adult population that holds one or more social media accounts. So, I mean, this is really a phenomenon. And just to put this in a little bit of perspective, to step back to the fairy tale question, I saw it yesterday. Think about this. Skype has more than 500 million users. I mean, this is worldwide. Facebook now has more than 500 million users. And it's not just people who are signing up and forgetting about it. These people, half of them go to the site on any given day. They spend an average of an hour a day apiece on the website. So 250 million human hours a day spent on Facebook. That's a lot. That's big. And so I would just throw that out there, that this, it is a new thing in terms of scope and reach. The elements of it are not new. I very much agree with that. We're seeing something brand new in terms of the end of the global population using one website. It's pretty amazing.
There was an article that recently came out about congressional staffers and how to get to congressional staffers, and they estimate that congressional staffers currently spend 6.5 hours per day consuming social media.
I can very much believe that. It's an incredible aggregator, as I'm sure you'll talk about, a way to filter conversation and a way to have an exponentially greater number of conversations than we've been able to have in the past. It's just astonishing, really, what you can sit at a computer and do these days, the people you can talk to, the ideas you can engage. You feel Gary bristling.
Gary, my question to you actually is that a good use of our time, especially as entrepreneurs?
So that is not a question for entrepreneurs, or a question, is that a social issue?
Yes, yes, both. And please be brief.
I'm kind of a lousy representative of human society, but I don't think we have a choice. I think those of, if you took a poll of this audience and asked how many people had, we'll play a little game here. I would guess that we probably have about 30 to 40% have people on Facebook pages here. How many have people have a Facebook page? I'm impressed. I am really impressed. Twitter accounts.
89%.
A little lower, exactly. But that's actually a pretty good number. But not as high as you would if you were up at UNM. Twitter account, everybody's hand goes up. Facebook, everybody's hand goes up twice. Is it a good use of our... I don't know how to answer that question, except it's just a fact. It's almost a fact of life. Anybody that wants to use social media from a commercial point of view has to accept it. As individuals, it's part of the world we live in today. You can participate or not participate. If you don't participate, you choose to carve out part of the world that's not good for you.
I'm getting deja vu. Back in the late 90s with the dot-coms, the question was always, but how do you make money? Right? So how does this drive revenue?
This is not going to put on my social data marketing hat. If you aren't using social data marketing as an organization, you're stupid. Because you think about the impact that you can have, and at a very, very low cost. This isn't like buying television advertising in the 50s, where you had to throw all your whole budget to television advertising or display ad in Time magazine in the 50s and the 60s. This is really low cost and relatively high yield because of the magic of big, big numbers. I'm in the analytics side of this business, and it's called big data. And what you get is billions of pieces of data today. If you can figure out something to do with those billions of pieces of data, if you can move the dial 1% on your by simply getting one more purchase or 10 more purchases, depending on the size of your company, at a very low cost, you have to use social media marketing.
So you gave the number that Whole Foods has 7 million. Well, have they monetized that? Do they know that drives that increased revenue by X?
This is a very good question. For anybody, one of the challenges when you pick up a new channel is how do you track that channel? I can go back to a 1920s statement. Some guy in the advertising, and it's a cliche, says basically 50% of my advertising budget is wasted. I just don't know which half. And the social media marketing is going to have the same problem. You're going to put, if you're Coca-Cola, you're going to put 20 people in your digital media or social media marketing group, and you're going to spend whatever that costs, several million dollars a year. The question is, is that going to return something to you in a measurable form in the very near term? The answer is, you probably don't know. Because it's like any advertising, it's very hard to quantify. Michael?
Just an answer to that point, which is obviously front and center for lots of people. I just saw an interview with Toyota's chief marketing officer about social media. And he said that if you wait to find out what the return on your investment is, you will have lost a competitive advantage. There are companies that will do that. That's their modus operandi. They wait until everyone else has proved out the model. And then they come in, hopefully they're big enough to make an impact in that market. But he feels, Toyota feels, that by being in it now, before they can quantify it precisely in dollars, they have built a competitive advantage. And it's pretty evident in the case of Toyota, I think, that despite the horrible publicity they got for months this year, their sales are up, and they just today announced that they're going ahead with their latest factory that they suspended in Mississippi. But there are companies that are trying to immediately convert reputation on the web in some form into cash. And there are other companies that have a branding view. I mean, that's marketing 101.
And I have to interrupt here. Boston 8, LA 7.
Yeah.
Will, do you have any thoughts?
I did, but perhaps we might move on to another topic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Actually, my next question may be best answered by you, Mick. You recently received $4.7 million in investments. How are companies valuing these new media, these social media companies? Is there any formula that you've seen?
So, as I recall, the question is, I saw it written down.
Oh, okay.
No, you mentioned a couple other things in that currently companies are based on revenue and they're based on...
Intellectual property portfolio, yes.
Yeah. I think those are still very valid, even in social media. Your company should be, in making revenue or have the option to make revenue. Obviously, you're still looking for a lot of the same things. But there is some strategy there, and there's some new things that can be done. There's some trails to be paved, I guess, is the way to say it. So they could be doing something very innovative. And even the technology behind that or the lead in that is definitely worth something.
Yeah, and I thought this was such an interesting question. I thought with the audience, perhaps we could ask how they go about valuing companies, because it's something of a mystery to a person who's been through the process before. But I think it really is all about linking it to strategy, just the same way that any other tactic is about linking it to strategy. Does it make sense in terms of the plan? I think that you do have to be on the lookout for it now, because it is something that is rapidly becoming a standard. It would be like saying, I'm going to have a business plan that doesn't involve any telephones. I mean, you've got to have that in place to communicate with whatever audience it might be that you're communicating with, whether it's for market research and feedback or direct sales or whatever it might be. So I think it will come down to a lot of the more traditional elements.
Gary, contrarian thoughts?
I guess when you say valuation, I've been in the fundraising business for so many years, I always think of venture capitalists. Is that what you're asking?
Well, one of the challenges for a venture capitalist looking at a deal in social media is, how do I value this thing?
Oh, boy. You should have asked me. I think they're going to overvalue it, to be perfectly honest. We're at the tail end of a feeding frenzy on social media, I believe. And plus what all the other challenges that venture capitalists are facing today. We're not in the bubble that exists in Silicon Valley in this area. So we have a couple, we can take a little different view. I kind of look at it, the fundamentals that I believe in is that social media will be subsumed as a normal channel of communication. It's a good thing. Will there be any stellar superstars that come out of this social media investment? I don't see another Google out there personally. I see what you'll probably see is companies will be picked up by other companies, aggregated, rolled up into other tech, into other ventures to complete their product portfolio. But I would guess there's probably not any home runs in there for if I were a VC, but I'm not a VC, so what do I know?
So we've talked about social media and some of its impact. One of the big concerns, of course, to Coronado Ventures Forum is that social media makes somebody like Coronado Ventures Forum irrelevant. Will social media ever replace face-to-face demo, you like we have at CBM?
No.
I agree. The view is great, the food is great, and we're always going to want to get together. And it's always going to seal a deal in a way that electronic communication never can. I think it's going to persist as a cultural tradition that we're going to meet to shake hands and look each other in the eyes. That said, I have made a lot of introductions recently through social media channels. I meet people, we converse, we Skype each other, we see each other over video, and that's a very real connection. When I end up meeting people in person, I do feel I already know these people very well. So.
And I think actually what social media does is it reinforces those connections. So I met some of you tonight, I already knew some of you, I've kept up with some of you in the past, and it's through those means, and that's how I will in the future as well. So I think it's more, it helps organizations like this more than replaces.
All right, good, so we don't have to worry here at CBM. Fantastic. So what are some of the disadvantages to this absolutely wonderful new Web 2.0? And maybe we should start with, can you define the difference between Web 2.0 and Web 1.0 and maybe Web 3.0 for us? And maybe I'll let you have first hack at defining Web 2.0. Yeah.
So I don't believe in any of those terms.
Great.
They're very arbitrary, and so it's very hard to pin down any one thing. But I will say one of the things, the beginning of that question, there's a lot of hype. And that's going to be in any new industry, and that's going to be in any new form. When you see someone get ahead in it, and they made a good profit, or they had some example of doing really well, then huge hype. Now, everyone wants that, but everyone can't have it because it doesn't exist. So not everyone can have the big story. And I think that's where we're at. And I think, as we've already talked about, social media will be rolled into what we just assume the web is in the future.
Save it for another one.
So we have a number of people in this room that are solo entrepreneurs. Maybe they've got a staff double that size. How should they actually look to social media to help them? Is there help for the small entrepreneur?
Absolutely.
We want to hear the tips. Yes.
There are a lot of resources out there, and when that question comes up to me, it indicates how do I think about budgeting resources, basically. And I think it's very much like any other management process. You have to look at what are you trying to accomplish, what are the best ways to accomplish that, and what can I apply to that question. So, I mean, there are all kinds of tips and tricks and things like that, but and there are certain websites. I'll send out some of them. How's that? Maybe you have thoughts on specific.
I was just going to say that, as in anything, you have to be real about it. You have to understand it to some degree. And otherwise, it's just going to seem dishonest and fake in the way that you use it. So take Twitter for an example. If you're just publishing basically ads about your company, no one is really going to care, right? Because we didn't subscribe to just get a stream of ads. There's a level of interaction that happens there, and I think that's what people find of value, really, and a level of information discovery. So if you're contributing to that, if you're giving back to your community some content there, and very much this is about giving away free content, and that will entice people to support you more and more, I think in that relationship, that's where social media exists.
Yeah, I would just agree very strongly. I mean, you can't fake this, and that's precisely its value.
I think the big challenge for companies is it's so time-consuming. And to be able to do it in a realistic way. However, there's outsourcing available, but it has to be in a way that doesn't come across as generic. But I think that's the biggest challenge, and I'd love for you to speak to that.
Sure. sounds like
it. Well, I'm going back to the last. I'm going back to the last question. I'm showing my age, which is a little bit of a latency problem. Oh, that's a really good question, John.
Should we slow down the question?
Yes, slow. Speak very carefully and very slowly. That was a good question, but I think the challenges are interesting, and I think what we just this is really the there's a generational challenge with anybody that wants to do social media marketing, and you really have to be careful because when you're in the 30s, I think we're under 30, you have a different view of how the world responds. We all do. You know, I at one point in time I was actually 30. It was really kind of cool. And we all responded differently. We never expected to be as old as we are. Social media has probably been one of the biggest generational challenges, social media marketing, than any other advertising or marketing channel I think we've probably seen. Because the adoption by my kid and everybody else of that generation is different than people of the baby boomer generation. So is anybody doing social media marketing has to recognize that the stimulus that is created by social media marketing is absorbed and processed differently by somebody that's 60 versus somebody that's 20 or 25. And anybody that puts together a marketing program that presumes that I'm 25 or 30 years old and everybody's going to respond like me, you better make certain that every single one of your target customers is of the same mindset. So you have to be actually more sensitive, I think, to generational issues than with a television advertisement or a print advertisement or classic banner advertising on the internet. You do have now a really different need to respond. So I'm kind of going back to your last, what are the challenges? The challenges are to recognize that you're dealing with a very broad audience that will respond individually differently.
And Will, you look like you had a response to our audience question as well.
I was just going to say, coming from the PR and advertising world, coming from the PR and advertising, it looks like someone back there may have an answer to this question.
No, she'll have another question.
Another question?
No, I don't have a question.
Oh, please. The floor recognizes the drawing.
Well, thank you. I'm a venture capitalist, and I want to talk about the challenge and stretch you a little. So we're a national venture capital firm who would love to put 15 to 30 million into a company.
Let me give you my call.
Who can be the next Google in healthcare? Not the IBM goal, not WebMD, but the next aggregator of information that reaches out to large mass populations. It can't be done, but it's not out there yet.
15 million is not enough.
Well, it's
a good start.
That's the answer. It is a good start. So from a stretch of a challenge, how do you get from what you just had a conversation about, of the entrepreneur of a company with less than 25 employees, to being size does matter? What is the large population opportunity in the social marketing realm?
One of the things I would say to that point is that, as I understand the demographics of Facebook, they are very quickly normalizing and beginning to reflect. Facebook is very quickly beginning to normalize and reflect the general population. And in fact, its fastest growth areas have all been in people over the age of 35. And I think this is very quickly becoming a standard thing. And part of what I see it being driven by really are families, because parents have to get on Facebook to figure out what it is the kids are doing. It's the only way that they can see the pictures and communicate with them. And it's very, I think, very quickly becoming a cultural standard in that sense. So I personally think that demographically, when you look at the boomer generation, they're just about to retire. They're very savvy, really, like when it comes to electronics. I mean, I can, my aunt, for instance, I can debate with her about Google privacy, user user agreements and things like that. She's very aware of them, very conscious of what all those things mean. I think people will go there if it has something that they need in mind. So,
I hate to do this, but the facile answer is it's all about the visual effects and how people would do it. The hard answer is if you go back to look at what Google did, Google made a bet. And I don't think they made a conscious bet. They made a bet is we can capture all the data in the, on the internet. Remember that. Go back to what Google did in day one. It was all about data. Forget about the presentation and the delivery. Those are all nuances and things that would be effective. They made a commitment to collect the data. Now, anybody doing something as challenging as something in the area of healthcare has to say, oh my God, this is a data aggregation, data analysis, data presentation problem. How do we collect this data? Can we make the commitment? And I don't care about the marketing aspect. Can we provide some, what would make Google, made Google successful when it started and what makes it successful today is it has the answers. And if you're looking at a roll-up type of activity or some sort of activity, you're basically saying, can I be that particular resource that people go to get information about healthcare? And if you don't have a mechanism and don't make the willingness to make the bet on data aggregation, data collection, then you're just playing games with silly websites. And that's my fundamental belief. And you're right, it's going to take $15 to $30 million. Minimum.
This is actually, I'd really like to hear what Collecta has to say about this, because I think they're watching this kind of thing very precisely in the industry. But one of my questions would be, why wouldn't Google just do this? And I think that if you look at their strategy, they may already be very much in place to do this, and it becomes a question of meta-tagging information and aggregating what you're saying.
I'm a data guy, so
we're never going to
That's Google answers.
So there was another question that we kind of skipped over. And so, very nice. Asked about a small company, like one person. Was that your question? Right? I would say it can still be a valuable piece, but you're going to have to, as in everything in your business, you're going to have to measure that against the amount of resources you have available. So that would... I mean, that may make that decision for you that you're not going to get involved even. I could go as far as saying that. But may mean that you're spending an hour a day because maybe a lot of leads come from that, maybe 2 hours a day. So it would very much be in line with what your business is and what resources you have available to you. Now to the answer. So I'm starting a new startup collecting data around health.
We're not important at all because anybody can do a lamp stack.
But your question is very specific to that industry. Marketing is one of the concerns. I think there's a lot of concerns in that business. I don't know. Is your question like more about reaching those people, more about like the logistics of managing that large of an effort, or?
No, I think we get that part. I think it's, are there companies that are in the queue, that are emerging to be able to compete as the next Google in healthcare? And are you envisioning in your company's growth path, how big do you want to be when you grow up?
Right. Big, very big. But actually, I want to say that there's some announcements that Google has had even on that path as far as a health data. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Someone else is going to nod their head.
Google, Microsoft, they've all announced and have begun health data things.
There's a huge disconnect in all of that data, and how do we get it, and how do we keep it secure and private, and who's going to have it, and yeah.
It's not a $4.7 million startup. It's a $15 to $30 million startup.
Well, and it's the next group of power apps for the consumer and the provider,
right.
The way that you see the apps of 99 cents to $6.99 on Apple. I mean, there's just a host of, you could have a whole panel discussion about this, but I'm just curious. I mean, you've got a great idea. You just close to $5 million. So how big do you envision that you have a business model to reach? And does it reach to the status of being the next Google of a certain industry? I mean, beyond the one-on-one social marketing, as an investor, I find it hard to understand how you sort of become the dominant big kahuna in that space. because there's going to be a lot of people who are Me Too kinds of players. So it's hard for me to understand how you position yourself.
For us, we're in the real-time search space, and streaming search and delivery of that those results. So that space is definitely very young. There's a few people competing in that space, but it's still shaping itself. We've only come to a point now where we have enough data and we have the ability to access that data quickly enough that the technology has even meant anything. So we're still figuring that out. I mean, obviously we have plans and how to grow to a sustainable business, but it's still, I mean, there's a lot of guesswork in that because of how new it is.
Will, you have some thoughts?
Well, actually, I wanted to back up a little bit because I think we still have one question that we have not addressed, if I remember correctly, and that was kind of the identity question. And I would love to continue the conversation because
put the healthcare on hold.
That's in our
right. Parking lot. Let's deal with immigration now.
Okay. Because I think it's a really important question, and it's one that affects organizations large and small. What can you outsource? What can you delegate to someone else? And in the advertising PR world, it's something we're very familiar with because you're really dealing with sort of the core identity of people's organizations. And it's something that I think one of the steps is that you have to be very, very clear about who you are and what you're trying to say. That makes it easier to delegate to other people. Just have a process in place to manage it so that it's not getting out of control, you're not losing control of what your message is. So I think that's something that affects people large and small. I hope that helps.
Helps a little.
Is that the answer?
Back
this way?
Let's go all the way back for Luis, and we'll work our way forward.
I just wonder what your thoughts are on the use of social networking in, let's say, a large entertainment venue.
The use of social media in large entertainment venues. People Twittering at the movie or?
At a sports field, maybe, or a conference, things like that.
So Ron Artest updating his blog. By the way, Boston 22, LA 14.
Wow. That's good.
So we're checking it while they're in the conference.
One of the things in social media that's really come about in the last couple of years is location-based services. So that's Goala and Foursquare, a couple others. Hot Potato, I guess, is one of the ones. And I think that those are one of the ways that could be used with a venue. I recently met a company that's focusing on hotels and Foursquare and integrating the two. So if you check in at a hotel... And by check-in, I mean like, on your phone. Yeah, not check-in, like pay for a room. But if you do that often enough at certain hotels, they're actually working out some discounts. Mm-hmm. So there's some of those incentives. So those will get people to actually check in, which checking in tells their friends that they're checking in, etc. So there's some of that. I think that many venues are interesting enough that a feed of what's going on there would be useful to a lot of people. So just publishing that and then also interacting with anyone that has questions about those. And then just simple promotions that actually happen, have a conversation, and perhaps they involve some group awareness to the promotion that, you know, if you get four friends here, we give you whatever. Those kind of things can spread a little bit.
Latitude. We can sit here on our phone and call up a map of where all of
where did they go? So my turn. Can the old guy have it? Some of them are incredibly boring. No personal guys, but you know, checking in at a hotel. I think I think the problem of health care and what you can get from social data is really kind of a little more interesting. I mean, one of the things that was really fascinating over the winter was that Google was able to predict an influenza outbreak faster. Now, that's a really meaningful use of social data. The question is, how can you do that and deliver some real significant value? And I guess I find we tend to get social media mixed up in kind of the entertainment side of social media, where social media is one thing, social data that accrues from social media is can be used in different forms than simply delivering what feels good today, what feels good this in the last 30 seconds, the last 5 seconds. So I think we sometimes we think of social media, we think of strictly entertainment, but there is social value, there's data in the social, there's value in the social data.
All right, I'm thinking about this thing, you know. You want to be the next Google or Facebook. Google fulfills the need that people want. They want data. Facebook fulfills the need. Twitter, all these things fulfill a need. They want to be social. They want to be people, okay? Healthcare, what need are you fulfilling? What's the unconscious need that you're going to create? If I broke my leg, I'm going to go to the hospital, okay? I need a doctor to talk to me. My point is, you need to find the subconscious need that people want. That.
Wait till you're over 30. Okay. I say that very seriously. And you'll look at the demographics of people who use medical data online. It's not the under 30s because some of the under 30s don't even care about insurance, right? So you have to recognize that there's a bias in the demographics.
All right. So we're going to retire healthcare. We're not going to talk about the benefit for single small companies at this point, because we have a brand new question that was over here. I'm sorry, Lawrence, it's yours.
Well, actually, my question relates to Darlene.
No, we're done with that question.
Come on, Darlene was dead on.
You're saying the
bottom
is winning. No, actually, my quick question was, and it doesn't relate to healthcare, but it relates to your industry, which is, in something like healthcare, is there going to be a standalone company that needs to invest in, or is it going to be a roll-up strategy where you take diverse companies and create that conglomerate which satisfies the
healthcare? Yes.
Well, this is. I probably should hand off the mic right now because I've done a little bit of blogging on this whole issue of VCs and their investment strategy, and that everything has to be a home run because they can only write checks for $15 million, which means the exit has to be $1 billion. Right, Darlene? It's kind of like that. But no, the challenge for any VC is either putting together an aggregation of investments that one of them will be a Google, and that's the only strategy that works in the venture community today. There's very few of them that know how to build a strategy that says I'm going to go for 10 doubles out of 50 investments. It's always that one home run out of 50. So maybe you guys are different, but that's a blog of many
blogs. You know, I'd love to hear what you think about this as well, because to me, as an observer of strategy, it's interesting to me that one of Google's strategies is standardization. They actually promote open standards, and they promote interoperability of pieces. They're looking at the platform, and I think that's very interesting. Do you guys see that as well?
Yes. All right, we have time for one question, and it's yours.
Okay. Most of the discussion is centered around the for-profit sector. Now, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates announced yesterday that they are encouraging all the billionaires in the United States to give away half their fortunes, at least. And that's going to go into the nonprofit sector. So my question is, how can people in the nonprofit sector benefit by this? Do you have any tips or ideas? Specifically, there are two of us here at the Santa Fe Film Festival, which is a nonprofit, and we're being able to increase our reach any way that we can.
And just a reminder, Technology Ventures Corporation is also a nonprofit corporation. As is West, yes.
I can actually speak a little bit to this. I have been a professional fundraiser. I've done major gifts fundraising, and one of the challenges of it really is communicating your message to your donors, and I think social media has a tremendous, tremendous potential to do that, to tell people about what you're doing, to connect with them, develop those long-term relationships that lead to gifts ultimately. I think it's one of the big opportunities of social media is in the nonprofit. And I think this speaks to Gary's question too about social uses of
any nonprofit should be using the same tools and techniques that the commercial side is using, because it makes no sense not to. In fact, you probably would get better response, I think, if you didn't if you did use social media than you would through conventional media, because you need to reach out to a younger audience, a broader audience, where people are connected and they're using social media every day. I think a lot of nonprofits tend to be rather insular, and they tend to look at their own local community. And what you really want to do is you want to reach out and stretch to other potential participants. So my vote would be the same as well as you must use it. It's just a necessary part of your outreach programs.
And the other part of that, like you were saying earlier about the 7 million people following Whole Foods, I mean, these are people who have chosen to follow. It's not direct mail that's just going to everyone you think might be interested. And I can tell you, donors are resentful of that. Honestly, they hate getting that stuff. People are choosing to get it.
Why do they want to follow it? What messages
would you say to change? Well, I think people have a whole host of reasons for that. I mean, I bet everyone in this room has some nonprofit group that they care about because they've had a personal experience with it. It's something that's close to their heart.
No, I mean Whole Foods.
I have no idea why people would follow Whole Foods. Maybe it's to see if the CEO is going to do anything else that's crazy next. They get special offers and deals. They get insight behind the scenes. They're all kinds of things they're offering. Offline folks.
No more time. It's fascinating because of the way people process information. There's been a lot of research recently about how people are interrupted and how you change your behavior to process that information. There are 7 million people who seem to have figured out that they can. They get a sliver, they'll spend a few seconds a day, maybe 10 seconds a day, 30 seconds a day, and it's worth their time to get it. And that's all you need to know. And it isn't really a depth analysis. It's an amazing, I think it's an amazing phenomenon. I would never do it. But I'm not representative of the world.
All right, we're going to stop there because we're out of time. But as a thank, our panelists will stick around. You can find them individually. I would ask each one of our panelists to promote their website in 30 seconds or less and how the audience should use their website. Will, why don't you start?
Will.crosscutcommunications.com or the blog on exactly the topics that we're talking about today.
Collecta.com, real-time search. So if you're wanting to explore some of the trends in social media that we've been talking about, it's a great place to get that all aggregated into one stream.
Velagraph.com, GRAF.com, and we don't really offer anything for anybody to entertain themselves with. I'm kind of a plumbing guy. We do the hardcore stuff underneath that makes things work. And we're a very early stage startup building a new company, building new technology. So that's kind of boring, but it's kind of the plumbing that keeps and the foundation that keeps your house standing.
I want to follow you.
Pardon?
Please.
GaryEversole.com, which is my